Thought for today. All is creative when I give my best. All is creative when I give my best. And what does it mean? All is creative. Now, when I give my best or I give my worst, it's still creative. If I'm thinking thoughts that limit me, they're just as creative as thoughts that uphold me and support me. No matter what I do, it's creative. But all is the kind of creation that I want when I give my best. Now, what kind of creation do I want in my world? What kind of creation do I want to experience in my world? Well, I'd like to experience the University of Healing being a great and glorious organization serving around the world, meeting the needs of a lot of people, helping them find their divinity. I would like to have the School of the Master beautifully attended by a wonderful group of people who are absolutely sincere and dedicated, giving 100,000,000% of themselves, so that when the school is over, whether it's a day-long school, a week-long school, a month-long school, 3-month school, 6-month school, a year school, or 2-year school as it normally is, that at the end of the term, everybody walks away invisible to the past, invisible to the future, living totally in the present. Now, those are interesting things. All is creative when I give my best. Now, are they important? Are they important? Now, you know, and I know, that right at this moment, if I want to snap my finger, everybody is perfect. Everybody knows their divinity. Everybody is having fun. Everybody is being creative. Everybody is fulfilled in every way. Okay? Okay? Why don't I do that? Why don't I do that? Because you are my creation. And I created you to be yourself and have fun. Now, I am amused as I sit back and watch you having fun. Now, let's just play a game. Remember now, this is a game. This is a game. This is not for real. This is a game. I'll repeat it again. This is a game. Okay. Now, I am God up on cloud 9, and I'm looking down at my creation, and I see my creation doing all the wonderful things they're doing, and I say, well, let me see. I think I better send an angel down to help these people here. They're having trouble. I think I better send a couple angels over here to help them. The devil's already got those people. There's nothing much I can do about that. So that's the way it is. Now, those people are coming up. They're lined up for the purgatory department. And these people are lined up for the heaven department. But half of them are going to go to purgatory. And the other half are going to go to hell. And then these are people all lined up ready to go to hell. And you know, 2/3 of the people going to the hell are really going to go to heaven. And the other third are going to go to purgatory. They just think they're going to hell because they think they were so bad. But they've already forgiven themselves, and they've already set a new cause in motion, so they're not doing it. Now, I'm on top of all this. I'm on top of all this. I'm God. I'm all. And so I'm looking at humanity, and I'm looking at my creation, and I'm saying, hey, this is a cool creation. This is a cool creation. Those who think they're so damn good are far from it. And those who think that they are so poor and they are so humble and so meek, they are right in there swinging. Okay. Sounds good? Sounds normal? Sounds like 90% of humanity think? And that's what 90% of humanity think. And believe it or not, 90% of humanity are going to go through just those experiences of heaven and hell and purgatory. But I have a surprise for them. They don't have to wait. They are experiencing that right now. They don't have to wait until they shuffle off this mortal coil and move on to another dimension. They're doing it right now. They're living in hell and purgatory and in heaven right now by their choice. And they're having a ball. They're having a ball. They're out there drinking up the bars. They're out there dancing up the dance halls. Oh, is that bad? I didn't say anything was good or bad. I'm just telling you what they're doing. And they're out there chasing after fun, chasing after men, chasing after women. They're out there chasing after balls when they're playing tennis or football or soccer or any other game they like to play. They like to chase after those things, you know, golf too. And they just have a ball, you know. And sometimes when they dance, oh my goodness, they forget their wings are not working right now. They're sort of hidden. They're invisible. And they take each other and throw each other up and throw each other up and swing each other around, just like they like to do with little children. They love to take little children and just swing them around and just have a good time with them. But, you know, this is the world we get. All is created when I give my best. And when I give my best to the illusion of living in this human world, then that's what I have. And that's not bad. It's not bad. It's whatever it is, you know. Now, does this really make me feel right? Does this really make me feel correct? Now, just imagine each one of you now, Ingeborg, each one of you are adults, right, Ingeborg?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, when I play a game with you, you know that that game is to be played according to the rules, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you have a youngster playing with you who doesn't know the rules yet. And so you say, okay, we'll just play a simplified game. We won't play it with all of the nuances that the game can have. We'll call it game number one, and then game number two up to game number 10. Game number 10 is with all the rules and all the possibilities. You got to remember a lot of things. So, I play the game. And I let my humanity play the game that they want to play. I say, hey, that's okay. If you want to play the game that you're poor, that's okay. If you want to play the game that you're sick, that's okay. If you want to play the game that you don't have many friends, that's okay. I don't get upset about that, you know. And then you get a little older, more mature, and you say, hey, there's not much excitement in this game where you just move from here to there and there to here and here to there and there to here. I want a little bit of imagination in here. I want a little pizzazz. And so I say, okay, you're ready for game number two, rules two, which has more rules. Okay? Now, in game one, you're a little child. And in game one, you have no sophistication. You have pure simplicity, innocence. And you just love doing whatever you're doing. Then as the games become more complex, then they become more interesting. Because your mind now is looking for something more than simplicity. Your mind is looking for something that is more challenging, more demanding. And so you begin to make the rules more tough. Until finally you have the rules so tough, you have hell and purgatory and heaven, and you have blasphemy, where you speak against something like the name of God. You have you have all sorts of things that the churches like to develop, saying you're a good person or you're not a good person. Until finally, you're on your deathbed, as we call it, which is your transition zone. You're getting ready to move to another dimension, to leave this one behind because you blew it or you made a wonderful experience here. Okay, so when you start out, you're simple, you're innocent, you're wonderful. When you leave here, you're simple, you're innocent, you're wonderful. You leave behind all of those ideas that told you that you were limited, that you were not very smart, that you did some dumb things in life, that you were very unredeemable, and you're ready to move off And so somebody says, you're terrible. When you leave, we're going to take your body and we're going to cut it up and chop it up and use it for fertilizer. And I say, hey, cool. That, or cremate it, or give it to the hospital, let them use it for body parts, you know, or for research as a cadaver or whatever. Makes no difference to me. I have put this coat aside. I have laid this body aside. I don't need it. But you should be angry at us for wanting to do this to your body. You should hate us for one, because we want you to be mad. We want you to be unhappy because you have been unhappy in your life. You have done bad things. Hey, whatever you want. When I'm not using my car, I'm not possessed by it. When I'm not using my cloak, I'm not possessed by it. So, why is it that we want to play this game of in between? What are the worlds? What is the game little children play? It's called in between. You ever heard of that? The game of in between is when you are in between being a child and being adult. You're not old enough to do all this dumb things adults do, and you're not young enough to be like a little child in a simple, innocent way. You follow me? Don't. How do you do that? How do you handle this in-between stage? We have in-between the innocent child and the adult, 18 or 21 years old. And then you have in-between adult and middle age. And then you have in between middle age and old age. And then you have in between old age and death. Now, we have all these stages, all these wonderful stages. And we just have a lot of fun with these wonderful stages. Why? Why do we have a lot of fun with them? Because we like to play games. Now, the sooner we start putting our games aside and playing the real game of what we're here for, the more fun life is going to be. Now, what is the real game that we're here for? We say the real game that we're here for is to be ourselves and have fun, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we say the real game what we're here for is to be ourselves and have fun. Now, how many of you are yourself and having fun? That's incorrect. If you are disturbed by anything you do, you're not having fun. If you're disturbed by anything somebody else does, you're not having fun. If you think you've got to get something done, you're not having fun. If you think anything, if you make any judgment, you're not having fun. Judgment is no fun. If you're possessed by anything, you're not having fun. Now, Sylvia says, I'm not possessed. And then I go over to Sylvia, and I take the blouse that she likes to wear, and I throw it in the trash. But that's my blouse. That's my favorite blouse. It always fits so perfect. I love it. It's just... Possessions. You know? It's hard. What if I go to Anita here? You say, well, what possession would Anita have? And so I take Anita's computer away from her. I take her office away from her. And I give her a closet. And I stick a little chair in there and I say, sit in here, write it by hand, whatever you want to write. And a candle, no light. And he said, but my office, but my computer, but my, I got everything all set up on the computer there. The thing is all ready for me to go. You see, possession. Anita says, I'm going to write my life story. I'm going to write my life story. It's the most important thing in my whole life. And so then Anita gets shipwrecked. She's all by herself. She's on a desert island. She has a great big trunk with her that happened to come along. And in that trunk, are reams and reams and reams of paper, and pencils and pencils and pencils, maybe a few ballpoint pens too. Now, is she going to immediately start writing her story? I doubt it. Is she going to first set up her living quarters and decide, well, now if I'm going to be here for a while, perhaps I should have a shelter, something that keeps the rain off me. I should, if I'm going to be here for a while, perhaps I should have some food, you know, and know what kind of food there is for me to eat here. If I'm going to be here for a while, maybe I should have some firewood to build a fire. If I'm going to be here for a while, hey, you hear what happens? Her dream is just shoved back and back by necessity. What if she were to start instantly writing on her book, on her great novel, or her great story? Would the food be there? Would everything be there? Sure it would. Would the rain come down and get her paper wet? No way. You see, when you follow your dream, everything else takes care of itself. When you don't follow your dream, you will find that everything will demand your attention right away. If you have a dream of, let's just say, writing this book or writing this memoirs, and it's the most compelling dream you could ever have in your life, and you allow anything to distract you from it, you won't get the dream. You won't follow it. You will die, and you say, my God, I didn't finish it. Which is okay. Now, all of you, Ingeborg, all of you, and Ellen, you tell me that your main objective in being in this silly monastery, and I say silly monastery because it cannot make you up or down or in or out. You have to do it yourself. It gives you the opportunity to do it. But here you are in this silly monastery, and you said your reason that you're coming here is to walk your spiritual path. Well, who knows what that means? That could be anything, you know. But let's just say we define our spiritual path as being ourselves and having fun, okay? Okay with you, Ingeborg? All right. So we say our spiritual path is being ourselves and having fun. Now, what are we doing at the monastery? If anything that we're doing at the monastery is not being ourselves and having fun, get out. Don't stay around on a job that's not fulfilling to you. Don't stay around in the monastery if it's not being yourself and having fun. But if the monastery is a great place to train yourself to be yourself and have fun, then stay. Okay, so your objective is to be yourself and having fun. Now, how is it that you be yourself? How can you be yourself? Have you ever taken a sheet of paper and written down what it means to me when I say I am being myself? Have you ever taken? What you should do is I will give you a piece of paper, maybe 2 inches wide, 3 inches wide, by maybe 3 inches deep, and I will give you a blunt pencil. You know what a blunt pencil is? It's a thick-nosed pencil, like as big as my finger, to write on there. So you can't write tiny, okay? You have to write big. Now, on this little piece of paper, your first statement is, on one side you write being yourself, and the other side you write having fun. Now, what does it mean to you to be yourself? With this blunt-nosed pencil on one side of the sheet of paper, little tiny piece, what are you going to write what it means to you to be yourself? Now, don't tell me today. And on the other side, you're going to write what it means to you to have fun. There'll be a lot of thought going into that. It should be your first thought, right off the top of your head. It should be your first thought, but there'll be a lot of thought going into it. Because you say, oh, I can only write a little bit on that small piece of paper, that big pencil. Okay. Being myself. Ooh-wee, that is a tough one. Having fun. Ooh-wee, that's tough. You know? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Well, all is creative when I give my best. All is wonderful when I give my best. How do I give my best to understand my purpose in being here? Is my purpose in being a monk so I can learn to fold my hands and go into meditation and introspection and prayer? I hope not. That's only one of the techniques that we use to understand ourselves. That's not understanding ourselves. People who are in prayer and meditation all the time don't understand themselves. You're here with your physical body to be yourself and have fun. That means be active, be dynamic, flow with this life. Drink all the joy that it can give to you and take it in and take it in and absorb it. But be untouched by it. Be unpossessed by it. No judgment. Damn. Takes all the fun out of it. Well, that's not really the fun. What does it mean to have fun? What do these things mean? If you cannot take it off the top of your head instantly and have it, then take a big sheet of paper, take a book, and write in it on the one side of the page what it means to be myself, be the whole book. When you finish the book, then turn it over, and then write on the back of each page, have fun. What does it mean for you to have fun? Be myself and have fun. So you get to the middle of the book, and you switch front and back, and you say, sounds like they're both the same thing. And in a way of speaking, they are. But how are you going to be yourself and have fun? How are you going to live this life? How are you really going to have fun? How are you going to handle this hell, purgatory, and heaven sort of thing, you know? Whether you believe it or not, you believe it. Whether you're Catholic or whether you're Protestant or whether you're no religion at all, you believe it. You believe in the law of cause and effect. You believe these things bring results. Okay. So start putting the right cause in motion. Start having the right effect. And start living a really rewarding life. By settling down and realizing you've come to the monastery or wherever you are in your world. There's only so many of us here at the monastery. All the rest of the people are out in the world. Okay? Now, wherever we are we ourselves and having fun? If not, we just blew it. We're not going anywhere. When we are ourselves and having fun, we're going everywhere. Can a mother be herself and have fun? Oh, yes. Can a father be himself and have fun? Can children be themselves and have fun? Sure. It's kind of difficult because other people expect you to live by their standards of fun and being themselves. But you've heard of nerds, children who are exceptionally intelligent. They're always in their head, they're thinking. You've heard of playboys, playgirls, people who have nothing in their minds but party, party, party. And you say, well, that's not so bad. Okay. And you've heard of people who are very intelligent, people who are very stupid. You've heard of the gambit. Okay. Are they having fun and being themselves? Oh, of course they are. No, they are not. Every one of them would rather be something different. And any time you ever think that you'd like to be something different than what you are, you're not being yourself and having fun. Remember that. Any time you ever don't like being who you are, any time you don't want to be who you are, you're not being yourself and having fun. And if you, even for an instant, don't want to be who you are, just for an instant you say, I don't like myself, you've got a problem. So, think of these things. All is creative when I give my best. All is creative all the time. What is my best? What do I want to give? Where do I want to be? Where do I want to go? Who am I? Why am I here? These are questions that are asked continuously. Now, who are you? Why are you here? Think about it. Think about it very seriously. Why are you here on the planet? Why did you choose to be here at the monastery? Why did you choose to be wherever you are, whoever you are listening to our tape here on the internet and elsewhere? Who are you? Be yourself and have fun. First, figure it out who being yourself is and having fun is. And I guarantee you, it's not the physical. It's not the mental. It's only the spiritual reality that we are. You say, well, that gets a little heavy. I mean, we're here to enjoy this physical body. That's right. As spiritual beings. Because this body is whole and perfect, always was whole and perfect, always will be whole and perfect. You understand? So we are here to enjoy our eternally perfect spirit, mind, and body. So as you think now as to who you are and what direction you're going, make your decision. The direction you're going is you're in your perfect spirit, mind, and body, and you're being yourself and having fun. And when you are the best, spirit, mind, and body, being yourself and having fun, everything is yours. It's fun. We're all working on it. We all accept it now. I love you.